Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Cindy. It's Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Liz here.
Hi, Liz. Good. This is Cindy Solomon on Product Camp Radio, talking with Jen Liebhardt and Liz Blink, who are in Melbourne, Australia, who have agreed to talk to us about their experience this past weekend at Product Camp Melbourne.
Thanks, and Cindy.
I'd love to have you tell me everything that happened.
Everything?
I don't think that would be permitted on public radio.
Well, I can edit it before. So I will say that it is 1:13 a.m. here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I believe it is
13, yes.
Melbourne time.
Yes, I'm hanging out in a lovely office meeting room at the office.
I've managed to get myself home, and I'm enjoying the fact that spring is approaching and it's not actually dark yet, and I can see my home before it's dark for the first time in a wee while.
So. Nice.
We're in the same city, Liz, because it's dark here.
Jen and Liz, could you tell us a little bit about your backgrounds as product managers and what brought you to Product Camp Melbourne and what your involvement is?
I haven't been doing product management for very long. I was thinking when I was adding it up, I've fallen into it as most product managers have from various backgrounds in their lives and various different paths they travel. But I did have the advantage of doing a pragmatic marketing training course while I was a product manager in Amsterdam. And when I came back to Australia, I saw through their alumni, I guess, so to speak, that there was a product camp being run here in Australia. And I immediately went, oh, that's too cool. I've got to get involved in that and meet people that are doing the same thing, because it still feels a lot like a position and role and vocation that people struggle to understand.
Dan? So I've been working in digital since mid-90s. And
me too.
Yes, and across a whole lot of different industries, and kind of always doing something that was product F, although in the early days it was called producer, but also had a lot of product management. And so I guess I also kind of fell into it. In terms of product camp, kind of like Liz, you know, it was more around connecting with people that also do the same thing and understand, you know, what you're going through and what you're sharing those problems. But for me, since I'm from the States, I was seeing all these product camps happening over there and was really jealous. So as soon as I saw that folks at BrainMates had organized one, and the first one was up in Sydney, I just said, okay, I'm going. Must travel up there, which is only like an hour flight, so it's not a big deal. And so yes, I've been to the four that have been here in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been up to three out of four, because I made Melbourne. I didn't know about Sydney. And once I knew about them, I was like, I'm going to Sydney as well, because they're just so much fun. It's such a great day. And you learn so much. And yeah, you make so many good connections. And yeah, they're so far a fabulous experience.
So what happens at Product Camp exactly? Just for a short, easy question to answer.
An easy question. Well, generally, beforehand, there's a website that you can go and submit any topics that you'd like to talk about, like anything you'd like to present, and then those can be voted on. But that process also happens in the morning at Product Camp, so you don't have to be completely organized before you get there. Some of the folks, you know, were not on Saturday. And then it's just really, especially the ones that I've been to here, are quite casual. For example, there was one on Saturday that was suggested that morning, and then we just sat in a circle and discussed, and it was one of my favorite topics, the product owner versus product manager topic, that agile thing.
Right, the agile thing. And were there any fist fights in that discussion?
No, none at all. I think it was a really good discussion because the majority of people there obviously were product managers. We did have a few folks who worked in UX or were a little bit more technical. So it was good to get opinions there, and people also had different levels of experience with Agile. But yes, it does seem that this is an issue that we're all trying to work through.
Yeah, and it's exactly that kind of common ground and understanding that makes product camp so great. Because even if you, for some reason in our busy day-to-day lives and in my company, I have quite a lot of fellow product managers, but we don't seem to have a lot of time to talk about that kind of stuff. We're, you know, more getting into the nitty-gritty, sometimes the tactical stuff, sometimes the strategy stuff around work, but not the philosophy as a whole. So that's one of the things that I really like about product camp, because it's just that time out to reset those understandings and then continue to think, well, how do I apply them? Because we try to do that every day, but life is what it is. Sometimes you can't always go with philosophy. You've got to go with what's most practical, and that doesn't always match up.
Exactly. It's almost the intention of product camp is to be not only a refresher, but a shot in the arm to get reinvigorated, to go back in to the daily battles.
Yes.
That's exactly, I was thinking about it on Sunday and thinking it's almost like, you know, you have your armor on every day and
yep.
There's some chinks in that armor, and product camp's that way of kind of building it back up and making, it's life affirming, you know, like, okay, yes, I absolutely know what I'm doing and I must just continue to do it. So yeah, it's building back the armor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a funny. I suddenly thought, oh my God, I make it sound like my every day of my life is a battle. And it isn't, but sometimes I guess there are aspects when you're championing for the customer or championing for the product, which, you know, should be extrapolating to the customer. And those struggling with everybody's different definition of the product and what it means to them and whether they've got the better voice of the customer. So, you know, sometimes it does feel a bit like a battleground. So, yeah, I find product camp a really good way to sort of link arms with everybody and say, okay, we are on the good side and it's okay, and you can do it again another day.
Right, and we're not alone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is also a great point. Like, even though Melbourne's a fairly small product community, but there were people there that I hadn't met previously, even though I was at the last one. And, you know, go to other kind of web digital networking opportunities. There's definitely folks that you can still meet and have that good experience. And then there were people that I met last year and hadn't seen all year, so it was good catching up with them again.
Yeah, and I think in that context, I definitely know, we know there's more product managers out there in the community, and it's encouraging them to, so Sydney, before when we were talking a little bit before we started recording, you were asking about some of the differences between Australia and maybe the States and the product camps there, and one of the things that just occurred to me is possibly the reluctance of people to want to talk. And I know the BrainMates guys do a ton of work to make sure there's some good topics and make sure there's pertinent topics to the day. But funnily enough, I think Australians are a little less reluctant to get up and lead in that situation. And so part of trying to encourage the product managers that are here in the community out of the woodwork is to make them understand it is a safe environment. It's not supposed to be confronting in a big, massive presentation. It's meant to be an engaging process, and it's meant to be somewhere where, you, as we've been saying, it's to hear that other people are experiencing the same problems that you are, and then talk to each other about how, you know, you can solve those together, or something you hadn't thought about before someone can put forward, and you can apply that, you know, 2 days later when you go back to work. But it's an interesting cultural barrier, and maybe Jen can comment because she's not Australian about that, if she agrees with me. But I think that's an interesting barrier for Australians, because we're willing to talk, but to actually stand up in front of people and feel like we've got to do that, I think it's interesting that we're less willing.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, Liz. There definitely is. Australians are very, very friendly, but there's not that sort of self-promotional putting yourself out there that we Americans kind of, you know, comes naturally sometimes. So I think there is a little bit more encouragement and getting folks to realize that it's not a big song and dance. It is just really about coming, having a conversation and sharing information. Depending on what you're doing, some prep is good. I've facilitated one of the innovation games. So definitely wanted to have a little bit of preparation there. But, you know, like I said, some folks just showed up with a topic and we had a really good conversation around it.
Yep. Yeah, I think the idea of preparation in a very, very busy day-to-day life is the other side of it, that's a component. But I think once you've got over your first one, you realize it's actually, you know, it's not massive. It's not the, which, by the way, Jen did a really great session. I really enjoyed that one. Practical tools that are often talked about in the textbooks, so just segueing that, I talked about the textbooks, and then we actually just did it as ourselves very quickly, and you can immediately see the benefits and you can immediately understand how to do it. And while anytime you take a tool and use it, and the more often and more frequently you do it, the better you get at it, it was actually surprising to realize just how easy it is to learn and throw these things into your toolkit, so to speak. Yeah, I think it's around that idea of understanding that, yeah, maybe it's good to be a little bit, have thought it through your topic beforehand if you're willing to do it there, but in our busy lives, sometimes that can feel like even a little bit too much as well. So I think once you're over your first product camp, you realize it's more just what really interests me, and then it becomes not work to prepare for that and just become something that, you know, because this interests me enough, I'm going to do a bit of research on it, or I'm going to do a bit of that prep.
And I think also another tip that I'd offer is get a buddy. You know, it doesn't just have to be you. Last year, pretty much on the fly, I think Adrian from BrainMates came over to me like 5 minutes before the session started and said, would you help facilitate one that was around tools and product management tools? And that went really well. And they've still got the list up on the website that keeps getting updated periodically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've done that with other sessions as well. Just split either you facilitate in one room and somebody in another room, or you can both hang out. And that way it doesn't feel quite so lonely. You're not out there by yourself. You've got a friend.
Awesome. I think there's a song.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need product camp song.
Except not with either of us. Well, no offense, Jen, but I definitely shouldn't be singing.
It's okay. I'm not going to be singing either.
Jen, could you talk more about the session you mentioned on innovation games?
Yes. I'm going to absolutely kill the poor man's name, and I'll apologize right now. There's a book out there called Innovation Games by Luke Hohmann. It's Hohmann, I believe. It's things like ways to identify problems or how to do different things around brainstorming. And the particular game that I facilitated is called Speedboat, and it's really around letting people vent, letting them talk about what they dislike about your product, but in a really productive way and kind of a soft way. They get to, you know, draw boats and fish and some nice little waves. And it's really around what are the anchors. So what are the problems that are pulling down your boat or pulling down your product, and how can you remove those anchors, or what identifying what those anchors are, so then you as a product person can remove them. So we focused on Google Plus and came up with quite a few anchors that will possibly sink Google Plus, mainly around connections. This was a huge pain point for our group. So things like not having any friends on the system, not knowing about rejecting connections and how they handle that. Some folks experienced problems with adding people. They weren't really sure whether they were added or not. You know, things like Google pulled in their address book, and that included things like info@hotel.com. But, you know, that's not exactly somebody that you want to connect with. There's definitely some stuff around connections that they need to look at. And then also the other really big problem was the whole social media burnout and being too lazy to move away from Facebook. So they really need to look at communicating and showing those benefits of using the system. And also, actually, I wrote a blog post about this yesterday. Talked about Kathy Sierra has a lovely chart that talks about getting your customers from the suck threshold to the kick-ass threshold. And right now, everybody was in that suck threshold on Google Plus. So they really need to move people up to the kick-ass threshold really quickly if they don't want people to say, okay, this is too much. I just don't have room for another social network in my life.
Do you have the URL for her chart?
Here, actually, a couple things. So the Innovation Games is innovationgames.com. Kathy Sierra, head, H-E-A-D, rush, R-U-S-H, /creating_passionate_users 2005, quite an old one, /10.
Oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
And then getting_users_P.html.
Someone did their prep.
Yeah, for sure.
Or you can go to Google Plus and search on me, and you'll have the entire post because I made it public.
And you're there on your name.
Yeah, so, which, since I'm into the spelling thing, it's Jen Leibhart, L-E-I-B-H-A-R-T.
Thank you so much, Jen.
No problem.
How many people attend?
What was there, maybe 40 people, Jen?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was somewhere around 40. Sydney, which was a few months ago, was, I don't know, more like 60, 50,
yeah.
60.
Yeah.
So it's quite intimate. You actually would have time to interact with quite a few people that are there during the day.
Yeah, definitely. And it also means it's small enough that you can have a session with everybody and still have a discussion rather than having to, because of the numbers, having to really break up into smaller groups, which is quite nice because that also helps to get to know each other and get to know people.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one of my favorite sessions so far was somebody had suggested we have a used bookstore and we're going under. And what would we do to improve the business? And really just use product management thinking to talk around what would we do? And it was kind of this, 25 minutes to talk through some stuff. But it was that throw you into a group of people that you didn't know, time limit, and just come up with some ideas. And it was an absolutely fun idea.
Excellent. I was talking with Nevins from Product Camp Austin, and they do somewhat improvisational kinds of things where they'll hand people a scenario, and they'll break into two groups. The product managers have to give a presentation and kind of compete with the other group over what their proposed solutions are.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think one of the innovation ones that Clive did that had us kind of going away and doing that, and he had three big topics around some big companies about, you know, like Nokia, what would you do to reinvigorate the brand, and what would you do to start selling to get more money out of being on a flight, figure out your target market and figure out who you, off you go, come up with some and just brainstorm it, and like Jen says, you're with a different group of people, and just to see people's different way of thinking and then bringing it together and then coming up with something when you work together in that way in a very short period of time has you feeling, wow, if we could do this more regularly, we could do some pretty cool stuff as well. Lots of fun.
What kind of industry are represented there?
I would say that the majority of people were from the digital industry, although we did have a handful, actually, I'm just thinking of one, maybe Liz can add to that, who were in more of your traditional, actual physical product. We definitely had somebody that had a real hold-in-your-hand product.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine that.
Hey, wait a second. Hold up. You're talking about me now?
No.
Yeah, no, wait a second. I work for Yellow Pages, so we make books, baby, as well as digital, right, as well as other stuff. But, yes, we do still have a mix of Jen's right, but there is a range of people doing enterprise solutions to websites and digital to still some physical form type of products. And I think last year had a few more people trying to get going in a startup component. And while that, you know, might be digital, I still think that's another mindset and group or slice within that. I think we had fewer of that group this year. And then obviously we had some UX people who were also trying to figure out where they fit into the picture, which I thought was another interesting angle and sense of how you fit into that world.
Yeah, we've been talking about this idea of a product professional. Under the umbrella of product professional, UX would fit in, because they are passionate about building good products. They may not, and they have to think strategically. They're involved in a different way than we are. Anyone who's passionate about the product from any perspective, including them into the fold.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, Adrian was blogging about that as well. Although I sometimes see that that's potentially part of the reason why we product managers feel we're kind of on a battleground a lot, is because everybody thinks that they've got a bit of product management heart. And so if that means they've got a slightly different point of view about how you should address that market problem or that customer's problem or pain point, instead of then got to take on the role of getting everybody's vision and point of view lined up within the company. And so it can be a cause of friction instead of a cause of collaboration if you can't get that agreement.
I think that's actually one of the great things that came out of one of our discussions, really, around sitting there, you know, at the beginning of a project and having that conversation around, okay, whose responsibility is this and who's going to handle this? And it was just a really good reminder that, look, we can talk about this sort of stuff. We don't have to just go, oh, your title is this, but and that means you sit in this box, but we can actually negotiate that sort of stuff at the beginning of a project.
Yeah. What a concept. We should talk to each other.
Going to product camp, there were a few people there who are not really in the product area. Say maybe they're a developer and wondering, you know, kind of what's that next step. So it's a very good introduction, I think, to product management for folks. You're going to get a much more honest opinion of what your day is really going to be like and how it differs from company to company and perhaps industry to industry. So I think I have a friend who went last year who was in this position, and she found it incredibly valuable in terms of advancing her mind around where she wants to go to and if product is really where that answer is.
And I think in terms of the communication of talking to each other about what it is you do and what the ground rules are, and having that discussion up front is actually just really fundamental to the fact that everybody potentially has a different idea in their mind about what a product manager is. So the only way to find out what their definition is and they hear your definition is to talk to each other. You can't just pick it up and go, I'm an accountant. And most people, if they use their usual assumptions, they probably won't be too far from the truth. So the moment you stumble over that, it's not so hard to reset or correct. But product management has a lot of fuzzy edges, and it is really, you can't just rely on the job description and even just between your boss and you that you know what your task is going to be or what the role is going to be, and then let alone the people you're working with. So to constantly just check in on that is, it seems, you know, sometimes we'd like it to be easier if we didn't have to, but actually there's a lot of undiscovered collaboration you can get out of having that conversation, I think, that we possibly underestimate by hoping everybody just knows what it is we do every day.
Agreed.
I also wonder, wouldn't it be better if they had some orientation? So then we are having a conversation with them specifically about how we can be more effective in that organization, as opposed to having to educate them about what it is in theory we should be doing.
Oh, utopia. It's a beautiful place to visit. I go there on my holidays. Would you like to come with me next time?
Well, this is the hidden agenda behind the Global Product Management Talks of bringing all of us to the table. Perhaps we can come up with some foundation or speaking points that we can all agree on, that we can make available to everyone else.
Well, yes, and also just getting the message out there, making, you know, people realize that there is more to product management than saying this feature does this, I think is a great start. And whether that's podcasts or sending articles around or doing like brown bag lunch talks within your company, I think those are all really fantastic things that we can start to put together a checklist, and here's what we have to do to continue to educate.
Yeah, and Melbourne is our latest discussion out of product camp has been to move it from not just once a year and that particular format, but to bring the product talk concept an evening to Melbourne, where we can have a more targeted discussion on a particular topic with some experts or some people with experience in that area, and then that engaged conversation that will have something that's more frequent, a little bit less intense, and then, you know, help to bring the product managers out of the woodwork. And then the next step is product camp, and it's not as daunting, and they already know it's going to be fun. So that's definitely the next move for Melbourne. Sydney's already been doing that for the last while, and I know they have great success out of that, so I'm really looking forward to seeing those get up and started here in Melbourne as well.
Yes, so those are an evening micro product camp.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, and if I'm there, it'll definitely be an evening. For the listeners at home, Cindy originally wanted to have this at 8:30 in the morning.
And needless to say, Jen did everything she could to sabotage it.
Both Jen and Liz were willing to do this right before product camp started, which was amazing to me. And I greatly appreciate it. So do you think that there's a community in place in Melbourne that would organically create more product camps or create these product talks?
No, I think... I'm going to dob Adrienne in now because she dobbed us in last time when she wasn't on the radio. But... I think it will need a little bit of momentum from, I know offered to help out and I think Jen's dobbed herself in, but I think we need a little bit of the encouragement from that side, but, so it's not less organic and more, come on guys, it has worked before, but I think from what I got the sample from the previous product camps, I came out of that and it's like, oh yeah, we should catch up and we should do this more often, and then it got a little busy and life got a little crazy and it was like where and what and how, and so I think there's a desire out there and the next move is just to just do it, and BrainMates with a little bit of support from our friends will potentially help us make that happen.
Yeah, and I think it always requires a few people to give something a push. Years ago I was involved in co-founding a professional organization for people that work in the community management field. And absolutely, it takes that person to organize the details around a place and get the word out and just keep the momentum going, which, yes, I think that's the challenge for any sort of volunteer situation that you've got life and you've got work and all this other stuff, and just making sure that you carve out time to also put towards doing some of these other professional activities that are so rewarding.
Right.
Yeah, like being up at some ridiculous time in San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly, Cindy.
Thank you so much. Clearly, we are all passionate about product management and are willing to go the extra mile. 7,400 miles, as it were.
Jeez.
Yeah, you should come down.
I'd love to. That's my other hidden agenda, to meet people so I can travel.
I don't know, Liz. I think we should head over to San Fran.
Okay.
Open invitation. And we do have our first San Francisco product camp is coming up in October.
Really? The first one?
Yes. So there's been 4 Silicon Valley product camps, and those are 30 miles south of San Francisco. And San Francisco has a very different community of startups and that whole mentality of, you know, in the very beginning, the CEO is the product manager. They don't have the resources for an additional person. And until they find the, quote, product market fit, they're constantly iterating. So there isn't any procedure that can be put in place until they figure out what their product is.
And who the market is.
Right, and who the market is, and what problem they're solving, and who's going to pay to solve that. So, yeah, so thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else I didn't ask you that are important points? So we covered some really good ones.
I think we kind of covered everything. Just anyone is listening that is in Australia or New Zealand or anywhere nearby, take a weekend trip the next time. You know, sign up to, I guess, the BrainMates Twitter or their newsletter, because they're very good at promoting these and organizing them. And yeah, come for a weekend. Melbourne's very cool. It's much better than Sydney.
And if you're a fellow product manager, that we can, you know, we'll find you somewhere to stay. We've got a spare bed.
That's great. So, and please, both of you, speak at our weekly Twitter on the Global Product Management Talk. And thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, my first time. It was really cool. Although managing multiple devices, I was a bit spazzed. But, you know, you live and learn.
Oh, did you do the radio this morning, Liz?
I just tweeted. No voice. A bit too early in the morning for that, Jen.
I'm always on the tram on the way into work, so It's kind of read a few messages, get my coffee, read a few messages, go to work.
And now we are broadcasting the discussion with Adrian, I, and the speaker. So you could listen in on Blog Talk Radio because it's broadcast live. So that's an option.
Scary.
But I'd love to have you both speak. So enjoy your comments and participation. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Cindy.
Yes. It's been fun.
Same here. And I'm delighted to hear more about Melbourne and understand the community, and I applaud your efforts at forwarding our profession, and I look forward to ongoing discussion, digitally and otherwise.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thanks, Cindy.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Liz.
Ciao.
Bye, Liz.
Ciao, Jen.
Bye, Jen.
Bye, guys.